Well, good morning. How's everyone doing today? Good, good. Well, we're glad to hear that. I think it's cool enough that we'll make it through today without wilting. You know, it's great to be with you. My name's Kari. Marquita and I are sort of missionaries on domestic soil, I with Leader Impact and she with Ministry Room, and it is a privilege to share with you this morning. One of the things that Charles Spurgeon was quoted as saying was, his prayer was always that God would work in him first, before anything that he was going to share with others. And this sermon actually has been born out of that, where God really spoke to me a few weeks ago, and I hope it's a blessing to each one of you. So welcome, those of you who are here at KBC, and those of you who are out there in internet land, welcome and good morning. Now, we are in the middle of summer. Anybody feel a little out of routine? Anybody feel like a little malaise almost a funk sometimes? I met with a few of our business leaders in the last couple of weeks, and they were just saying like, oh, we're out of our routines. They don't feel connected to God. They feel kind of distant, actually. The kids are out of school. They're doing other things. You're going to camp to volunteer, and you know, it's just going to be busy, busy, busy when you're doing those kind of things. We miss, many of us, having our morning time of prayer, our devotions. Some of us miss some exercise as well, don't we? And then you start to feel just a little sloppy. But I'd like to give you something that I think will give you some hope this morning, something to help you out of a midsummer malaise. And I'm going to use an example for you to help us understand that. Whoops. Does anybody know what this is? Yes, I hear someone say that. Canadian Tire Money. Now, I'm going to use Canadian Tire Money for an example. Now, I brought the real thing. I was going to have Stephen Budd print it on his 3D printer, but he said it would take about a week. So I thought I'd just bring the regular thing in there and use it. Canadian Tire Money began to be circulated in 1958. There's almost a billion, with a B, dollars worth of this stuff in circulation right now. Can you believe that? They use the actual same paper when they were printing this physically as banknotes. The Canadian banknotes were printed on. This stuff was authentic. Canadian Tire Money is so deeply rooted in our culture that it's actually now in the New Oxford Dictionary. How about that, Canadian Tire Money? Now, for some of you younger folks, you're going to say, what the heck is this stuff? Because it just goes on your card, right? The new triangle reward stuff. The kids are like, what is this old geezer talking about? But I found this in my drawer. I think there's about $7 here. I think I could get a liter of oil or something with this. Who knows? In fact, Calvary Christian Academy, when they were building their new school a few years ago, said, we take Canadian Tire Money. And what a wise thing that was. They got thousands and thousands of dollars of Canadian Tire Money donated, paid for all the paint and a bunch of supplies at the school. Have any of you ever saved up Canadian Tire Money to buy a pair of skates? I see some nodding heads, figure skates or a hockey stick. I can remember scrounging and mooching Canadian Tire Money off people so I could buy a hockey stick. And I remember the day when I went to Canadian Tire in downtown Sudbury with this big wad, bigger than that, of Canadian Tire Money to redeem it and buy a hockey stick. Oh, happy day, you're going. It's like the best field trip ever. A hockey stick for free. For free. Oh, wait a minute. Not quite free, is it? Because for a $40 hockey stick, someone had to spend $1,000 at Canadian Tire to get the hockey stick. See, that, I didn't clue into that. Dad had to buy stuff. Mom had to buy stuff. I'd mooch it from neighbors so I could get this hockey stick. Someone bought $1,000 worth of stuff so I could have a hockey stick. And that's the problem. Someone has to buy a lot of stuff. And so let's say you were getting 4% back, it literally would cost $1,000. So this buy-in reward loyalty system was the first one we had in Canada. Now you're going to say, what does this have to do with Matthew 6? I'm glad you asked. Some of you are saying, okay, where's he going with this? You see, our rewards from the Lord are quite opposite from Canadian Tire Money, aren't they? Sometimes it's helpful to compare and contrast things because they show the differences, don't they? We don't earn the Lord's rewards by work. His rewards aren't based on time or money. It is truly a free offer based on what Jesus Christ has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. You see, when you repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are given a very special gift, aren't you? A very special gift. You get the rights of a daughter or a son. You become a child of God with all its privileges, including asking for things in Jesus' name. Through Jesus, who pays the price for us, it's like we get a pocket full of Canadian Tire Money to redeem anytime we want in prayer. When we become Christians, Jesus is telling us that if we don't come to him, we do not get the prayer tokens and we do not get the blessings and rewards of being a daughter or a son. Now, here's the cool thing. God doesn't say, first get your act together. He doesn't say, have a quiet time each day, stop yelling at your kids or thinking bad thoughts, or spend your money wisely for a month, and then I'll give you some of these prayer tokens. No, not at all. It's not like that. We simply reach out in believing faith of being reconciled to the Father through Jesus, and Jesus, who paid the great price for us, validates our every request with a pocketful of redeemable prayer tokens like Canadian Tire Money. We redeem these free prayer tokens every time we pray, and he just gives us a pocketful and then replenishes it and gives us more. Now just think about this. You have unlimited access to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Anytime, anywhere, because Jesus paid the price for our prayer tokens like so much Canadian Tire Money. So, I saw some nodding heads when I said, do you feel in a bit of a funk right now? Do you feel a bit of a malaise during this summer? I'm going to show you how knowing that you have these prayer tokens in your pocket will help you have a more intimate walk with God. And luckily, today in the scriptures that we saw, Jesus has described exactly how we do it. And here's our big idea. If you don't get anything else, just get this. Your Heavenly Father sees and rewards your secret devotion to him. I'll say that again. Your Heavenly Father sees and rewards your secret devotion to him. And in the middle of those three or four verses that we had read, there's one key verse, one key thing to remember. Listen to this. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is what? Unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Your version may say openly. Some of them, the NIV doesn't have openly, but other versions do. He will reward you even openly. This is the word of the Lord. Many of you will remember that last fall we did a series on the Sermon on the Mount. Anybody remember that? Pretty long series. It was pretty rich, wasn't it? It was very good. And I don't know if you remember, I believe it was Bob was speaking about the three religious practices or righteous acts that Jesus talked about and mentioned in Matthew 6. There was fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. Yes, fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. And the religious leaders loved to do these things in public, right? Disfigure their faces to show that they were fasting, give alms in the temple, and it was like, da-da-da-da, blow the trumpets. I want everyone to see that I'm putting this money in the offering plate. Like when the plate was passed around, you know, people used to tink it on the bottom to show that they were putting money in there. It's kind of the same thing. And then Jesus goes on to say that those people who do it for public display, they have their reward, right? They have the affirmation of men and women. They have their reward. But then he also goes on to say about private prayer, our personal private prayers. When we go into the closet and cry out to God, God sees and will reward us. Then Matthew goes on to talk a little bit more about prayer, and then we have the Lord's Prayer, which we sang. Thank you, worship team, for the selection of songs this morning. That was just perfect for where we're heading today. See, we usually place a lot of value on prayers that are answered. Jesus seems to be saying that it's a little more important for us to recognize that our prayers are answered and rewarded. Rewarded. Now, I believe there are at least three significant ways in which secret prayer is rewarded. Number one, affection. Affection. The first reward is that secret prayer brings us into intimate affection or communion with God. In Matthew 6, we hear Jesus call God, our Father, your Father. This was the first time in Scripture that God is addressed as a Father in a personal way. He is called Father metaphorically in the Old Testament and is called the Father of creation, like Henry Ford is the Father of the assembly line. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks 17 times of God as our Father in an intimate, personal way. This was radically new to the Jewish people, as no one had ever addressed God as their personal Father. But when Christ becomes our Savior, we are adopted into God's family. So God becomes our Father, our real heavenly Father, and we become united to Christ and share in His sonship with all the privileges a child has with their father, heirs and co-heirs with Christ, like the scriptures say. Now here, just a few verses that describe these great privileges of secretly connecting with God in affection as a daughter or as a son. Proverbs 8, I love those who love me and trust those who seek me find me. Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Hebrews 11, God rewards those who earnestly seek him. And Marquita's favorite, Jeremiah 29, you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. Psalm 22, you inhabit the praises of your people. Just like we are praising him today, God inhabits that. He comes into the middle of that. And James 4, draw near to God and he will what? Draw near to you. You've got it. We forget these things sometimes. We forget that that affection can be ours. And so what amazing promises of the affection of God for us and our affection for him can grow as we seek him in secret prayer. I was reminded of these privileges years ago when we operated our business, Jim Jam. We had problems for many months with money going missing in our games area. We had games like whack-a-mole and bowling. The games worked on tokens. And when you got some points in the games, it would spew out some tickets. And you take the tickets and redeem them for valuable prizes. The games were locked down. The tokens were locked down in the office. It was a mystery. I had no idea where these hundreds of dollars were disappearing every month. Ah, and then I realized. I saw coming out of my office our daughter Bethany. She had this big t-shirt on. She was holding it like this with about 50 pounds of tokens. She could barely walk. It was like Mary being great with child. Our daughter Bethany was great with tokens. So let's say she had $100 of tokens in there. I go up to Bethany, what are you doing? And she said, well, I always go into the office and get tokens. Oh, ding, ding, ding. See, no one had helped her. No one had told her where the tokens were. No staff member had ever stopped her either. The staff members just thought, well, she must have permission to go in there. And so she went in and out and spent hundreds of dollars every month on tokens, making me broke. But why did she do this? Why did she do this? Because she's my daughter. And ran around the place like she owned it. I couldn't be angry. I just couldn't be angry. You know, all the controls, all the systems can't get around your kid just walking in the office and taking what they want. I laughed and laughed and just felt full affection for her. You see, she had so much assurance, so much trust, that she felt it was natural to go play on Dad's games. That freedom is what God is offering you today. Each one of you, go into the office, load up with tokens, and spew it out to God in prayer. Go to Him. He wants you to. God will reward you with affection in communion with Him. By the way, Bethany is now a CA and an auditor who flies around the world. Flies around the world doing value for money audits. See, she's a pro. She knows where the rules can be broken. And she's very good at it. And I just find that hilarious. Now, keep in mind that God, who sees and hears our prayers in secret, will reward us, even openly. Do you realize that God says He will reward us simply for asking Him for things? Just because we ask, that pleases God. You know what that's like? That's like one of your children coming to you and saying, Mom, can I have $20 for tuck at the camp? Don't they still have tuck at camps? Can I have $20 for tuck at camp? And then you say, sure, thanks so much for asking me. And because you asked, here's another 20 just for asking me and trusting me for it. Now, can you imagine that? We think we're going to God, oh no, He's going to be frustrated because we keep asking Him for stuff. He loves when we ask Him for things. We have to change our minds on this. And this is what hit me so hard when I was reading Matthew 6 a few weeks ago. God loves when we ask Him things. He loves it, and He rewards us just for the asking, even if they're asked in wrong motives, even if our attitude is bad. It doesn't matter. Just for going to Him in prayer, He loves it. So the first reward of secret prayer is affection. Number two, alignment. Alignment. The second reward of secret prayer is that prayer brings us into alignment with God. The affection with God is first. Our Father, your Father, that's first. Then it leads to alignment with God in our heart and in the answers that He gives back. This is the only way that we can really say, your kingdom come, your will be done. King David says in Psalm 40, I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart. And Jesus gives a validation of what King David was saying. He's quoted as saying in Hebrews the same thing. I have come to do your will, O God. A direct quote from what David said in the Psalms. You see, this is not about a middle road somewhere between what God's will is and our will. You know, you kind of negotiate and you come to a middle road. No, it's about being totally aligned and surrendered to the will and purposes of God. Our affection with God and alignment with Him are intricately connected because we will not know God's will, number one, and we won't want to obey Him unless we're really in affectionate connection and communion with Him, right? Put another way, we won't obey Him if we don't love Him. That's why obedience is so hard. We don't really love Him. If we really loved Him and knew His goodness, obedience would not be so difficult. In coming to know God's loving heart, we can confidently pray for His will to be done because we will have discovered that He is kind, He is sufficient, and trustworthy for any situation. This devotional prayer we pray in private, not out on street corners. This is the expression of our heart, right? That's what he's talking about, crying out to God. I saw a news clip from Jerusalem recently. There by the west wall of the old city stood a group of, guess what, Hasidic Jewish people praying, wearing full regalia, tassels, phylacteries, hats, the whole deal. They were praying to Jehovah God, our God. But I doubt they know God as Father, as we do. So they pray and they rock back and forth to make sure everyone knows what they're doing. And they say, well, we're trying to be an example for other people. And that may be true. That may be true. But I know one thing. They have their reward, don't they? They have their reward, the praises of men. That is their reward. They get no reward from God for that. In contrast, God loves our secret, intimate prayers and helps us align our hearts to His and our will to His will. So the first reward of secret prayer is affection. The second is alignment. Now we come to the third. Answers. Answers. This is what we love. We love having our prayers answered, don't we? And that is the third reward. Let me give you an example from the same chapter of Matthew. We just sung about it. Trevor and the team were just singing about this from the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. There's three. Three things we pray that are pretty much answered every day. This comprises our physical, moral, and spiritual needs. Physically, God provides today what we need for today. Morally, though we cannot put every relationship right, because it does take two people, we can be forgiving of others as God is forgiving of us. Spiritually, the closer we come to God, the more we can be sure that Satan will try and lure us away. And without God's protection, we are no match for our adversary. Now, I have an example from this week of an answered prayer. I was on my way to a barbecue. I'm sorry, it was last week. I was on my way to a barbecue. On the way, we all got texts that one of our friends who was going to the barbecue was experiencing a heart attack. He had been rushed to the Heart Institute. He was in fibrillation. I don't know what all the words are. Anyway, he was having a heart attack. He was in bad way. And by the time we all got to this place that we were meeting at, we get a text back from this brother's wife. And she said, got some interesting news. Got to the Heart Institute. They did an EKG, and guess what they found? They thought all his arteries were blocked. There's basically no blockages. Thought he had a heart attack, but there's no damage to his heart. Said, we don't know what happened. Everything just stopped. You see, while all the guys were praying privately in their prayer closets, the car, that was our moving prayer closet, we were praying away. God was answering prayer. The doctor came up to her and said, well, I don't know what happened, but he didn't have a heart attack and he seems fine. And she says, what do you mean? He said, well, he must have had a heart spasm. I've never heard of such a thing. Have any of you ever heard of a heart spasm, like you have a cramp in your calf or something? That's what he was saying. And she said, well, I don't understand. He said, I don't understand it either, but everything looks okay. And she said, well, I understand it. He said, you understand it? What are you talking about? And she said, we'd been praying and God answered our prayers. And the doctor said, I don't believe in all that garbage. But just then a technician came in and said, wait a minute. We got a problem here. They found on the other side of his heart another problem with an artery that was somehow crushed. I don't understand all the details. But basically they found a secret problem that could have killed him later. And they were able to operate on it while he was there at the hospital. So his wife was just rejoicing at these answered prayers. Now, some of you are going to say, hey, great. That's great when you get an answered prayer in 2 hours or less. Wonderful. I've been praying for something for a long time, and I haven't seen an answer. Any of you ever had that happen? Shoot, I have. I prayed for my father to be saved for 20 years, and he finally came to Christ 4 months before he passed away. It's like John Eldridge puts it, some great oaks do not come down with one swing of the axe. Sometimes, like Daniel, we're fighting spiritual battles. God's already beginning to answer, but it took 30 days of praying for Daniel to have relief. Do you remember that from the Old Testament? Do you remember how that was? Sometimes it takes persistence. Here's another thing. 1 John 5 tells us that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we asked of him. So we have to pray according to his will if we're going to get answers. And sometimes God's answers are no. I was reminded this week of Garth Brooks. Anybody like country music? True music? Every song is like 2 minutes of reality. Well, Garth Brooks was singing a song of some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. He had gone to a high school reunion, and this girl that he had prayed for all through high school, he saw her, and she wasn't the kind, gentle person. She was crusty and foul, and it was bad news. And he looked at his wife, and he realized that some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayer. God had kept him from falling into a terrible relationship that would have been debilitating to him and to his faith. So sometimes prayers that are not yet answered or aren't answered at all are for our own good. And we have to be able to trust God with them. So we've seen that the rewards of secret prayer include affection, alignment, and answers. Here's the great thing. I have a bonus for you. We have a bonus A. Anybody like bonuses? I like bonuses. Around Christmas, we used to get bonuses, and I always liked those. They're unanticipated blessings. The fourth bonus is acclaim. Acclaim. We can't even talk about that in church. It sounds too prideful. But God gives us a bonus reward. He gives us acclaim, honor, and glory. What are you talking about? It can't be. But it says, our Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you, even openly. Now, how many of you have read Revelation and you see all these scenes of worship? You know what I'm talking about? It's a little like a dream world while you're reading it. But what's very clear is we see scenes of the heavenly host before God on his throne. And it's awesome and incredible. Well, right in the middle of one of these scenes of the heavenly host worshiping before God is from Revelation 8. And this is what it says. An angel came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer along with prayers of the saints. On the golden altar before the throne, and the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, rose up before God from the hand of the angel. Can you picture all of your prayers going up like incense before God with all of the heavenly hosts looking on? It's incredible. He saves every one of our prayers, and they're going to be mixed with that incense, and the whole heavenly host will see and hear all of our prayers. Can you imagine that? Can you even imagine it? It's incredible. This is public acclaim in heaven. Each prayer going up before God. You see, we underestimate the value of our prayers. We think that our prayers are weak. They're insipid. They mean little to God. They're actually a burden to God to listen to. We think of our prayers as a burden, but that is not correct. Couldn't be farther from the truth. Our prayers are like artwork that our children make for us on our birthday. I have a whole box of these artworks, drawings, cards, etc., and they're very precious to me. And where do all these drawings and artwork go? On the fridge. Why the fridge? It's the most prominent place in the kitchen, and the kitchen is the heart of a home, isn't it? Those things go with magnets on the fridge. We display them for all to see, not because they're Rembrandts, but because they convey the love and care of a child to us and our appreciation and love for this child. That is how God feels about your prayers. When we come to Him in trusting, secret prayers are like treasured works of art, which Revelation promises will be put on display like Rembrandt at the Hermitage, the prodigal son painting. There it is at the Hermitage. People stand there for 4 hours in front of this painting. Could you imagine that that's how God sees our prayers? Can you even imagine that? We don't think this way. So we must never forget that God rewards you just for asking Him things. Every prayer, no matter how simple, has a reward attached, and that's your bonus. Let's wind this up. We started this message talking about Canadian Tire money. We shared that God's system of rewards is better than the buy and reward loyalty system of Canadian Tire, as beloved as it is. Through Jesus, Father gives us a pocket full of prayer tokens to use whenever we want. We can spend them for requests, needs, fears, gratitude, whatever we want to, at no cost to us. And who paid the price for these? Yes, Jesus has paid the price. So in secret prayer, we get affection, alignment, answers, and then as a reward on top of all of that is the acclaim, putting our prayers on the fridge magnet in the kitchen of heaven. Can you imagine that? It's incredible. So our big idea this morning has been your Heavenly Father sees and rewards your secret devotion to Him. Well, you say, well, great, Kari, I'm a little out of practice right now. I've been so busy. I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Where do I start? Well, I have an acronym for you. Marquita reminded me of it. It's PRAY, P-R-A-Y. That's pretty easy. Even I can remember that. P-R-A-Y. P, praise Him. Make a list of things you're grateful for and praise God for them. Praise Him for Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Praise Him for the Bible, for health, a job, a family, for friends. Praise Him for our church and our pastoral leadership. Praise Him. Thank Him. R, repent of sin and disconnectedness. God's been reaching out in love to you all this time, and we've turned our back on Him, haven't we? That's effectively what we've done by being disconnected. It's like we've turned our back on God and His blessings. So repent, ask Him for forgiveness. Lord, I'm sorry, here I am again. A, ask for and expect these answers, the alignment, the affection. Remember, He loves us more for the asking. He loves us more for the asking. Then Y, yield your life to His will. Obey Him and you will be blessed. If He's been speaking to you about forgiving someone, God's going to be distant until you forgive someone, right? If He's been talking to you about how you conduct your business or the way you speak to your spouse and you refuse to listen to Him, it's going to seem like the heavens are brass, like the old saying goes. Do you know what I'm saying? And then as soon as, like David in Psalm 32, as soon as he turned back to God, boom, there was God in full regalia. Now, some of you may not have gotten into the habit of having daily prayer. Your devotional life is a little out of sync. For those of you who are having problems, you can start with something like this. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Maybe we can repeat that. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. If you'd like to know more about these kind of disciplines, Doug Ward has the Urban Monastery going, and he's got lots of ways to connect with God and to hear God. You also, we sang the Lord's Prayer today, didn't we? One of Marquita's friends did not grow up in a church home. There's no faith. In fact, their family was totally against everything faith. But at her dad's funeral, she just felt like you couldn't have the urn thrown in the sea and not say or do something. So she didn't know what to do. She wanted to pray to God, and then she remembered in grade school we used to pray the Lord's Prayer. So Marquita's friend said the Lord's Prayer because that was the only thing spiritual at her dad's funeral. The Lord's Prayer, so simple, a way to connect with God. You could remember prayers from Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3. You know, Ephesians 3, pray that God in his riches would pour out all his blessings on you, etc. Philippians 1, beautiful prayer. I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of you, O God. Just praying God's own scriptures right back to him. You do this a few times, you make a good Anglican. You know, they've got a whole book filled with these. But it's a great way to start, isn't it? It's a great way to start. Now, some of you, this is serious business, some of you may be in a malaise. You may feel disconnected with God because you've never really surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Been coming to church. You've heard the claims of Christ, and you say Jesus was a good man. He was probably the Son of God. And it's mental assent only, without repentance and a surrender of your will. That's why you can't receive the peace and joy that Christians are talking about all the time, that you'll hear preached in this pulpit, that you'll hear us worship about, that you'll hear the prayers describing. You can have an intimate connection with God through Jesus, but here's what you have to do. You have to repent and surrender your will. Now, I'm going to give you guys a chance to do this, and you too out there in internet land, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray. Let's bow our heads here. Bow our heads, please, and just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I repent of my sins. I surrender my will to you. Please forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, with your heads still bowed, please bow your heads. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please put up your hand. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Okay, we can raise our heads. There's people around you who will come every week. And thank you for those of you who responded. I have something that I'll give you at the end of the sermon. When you surrender your life to Christ, it changes everything. It's not just adherence by coming to church. It's not just, oh yeah, I think it's probably true. No, there's a repentance and a surrender that brings eternal life. Thank you again for humoring me by bowing your heads and giving a chance to respond. At the end of the service, those of you who raised your hand, you can come up and I have a booklet for you. Let me just close this message with a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that in praying I receive the reward of affection with you, alignment with you, and your answers. You alone can reward publicly with honor and acceptance every one of these devotions. You are so good to us. Thank you for these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.